Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Here you go. Get ready for this.
Oh, I'm ready. Able and willing. 1101, Shalini Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, Tuesday morning into the afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to listen. You can listen all the time for free, including the Braves baseball, via the Fan app, and that is driven to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct is the quickest and the easiest way to shop for a car online. Also, 680thefan.com. The X platform is up and running at Matt Lear at Road Dog 680, at Chris Domino at Cellini, Nick at 680 The Fan. It's English Muffin Day, Chris. English Muffin Day. Who's your favorite English person? It's the X platform question of the day. See what I did there? English Muffin, English person. I got crazy today,
man,
Chris.
You're a sly one, there, my man.
That's the voice of Billy Devaney, who tomorrow will be in with us talking some draft at noon. The 12 o'clock hour
tomorrow.
Featuring Billy Devaney. Yes, Buck.
Yeah, indeed. Isaiah says that's tomorrow.
Yes, Isaiah, I say it. Chris says it. Everybody in general says it. Yeah.
Is there anybody who's not saying that? That would be more interesting.
Well, that would be also inaccurate, is what that would be, because Billy Devaney is coming in with us.
All right.
Tomorrow. So just to clear that up. Anyway.
I might have to bring someone up with him.
Okay.
I'll save it till tomorrow. When is enough enough, when maybe you've got to look at a guy and say, you're going to have to get out of my building? Like right now, you're going to have to get out of my building. Please,
yeah.
I'll leave it there. It's a one-day tease. But at a certain point, if you run an organization, can somebody do something that you should just say, and I'd say calmly, you're done. You don't get on the plane home with us.
And I think it relates.
There'll be a box of your stuff someplace.
Right.
So we'll just leave it at that, please.
But it's funny because I heard a conversation that you were having with Matt Egger and company as I walked in. Didn't partake in the conversation. You were talking about Angel Hernandez and when is enough enough. You think that he, like me, is just trying to get Major League Baseball to fire him.
But I don't know.
Because he wants to achieve a settlement of some sort.
Okay. But here's the thing. I think he wants them to fire him so he can sue.
Right.
You don't want to be fired from this job. This is a good job. The fact that you're so stupid, that you're so bad, and you say on purpose.
You can't be this bad unless you're doing it on purpose.
Okay.
You can't be.
But just because they fire you for incompetence doesn't mean you're going to win a lawsuit. They have an association. I get all that stuff. I've read up on this stuff. It's too good a job to be stupid enough to lose, and why be so bad at it when they pay you more money to be a postseason umpire? Like, none of this makes sense.
Well, none of it makes sense for a number of reasons when it comes to Angel Hernandez. His mere existence as an umpire doesn't seem to make sense.
What doesn't make sense is there's not a way to demote. There's not a way. Player can't handle it. Obviously, neither can you. Down to double A. You don't like it? It's a voluntary endeavor. Quit.
You need to be relegated like soccer teams in Europe
if you're
an umpire.
Well, speaking of Europe.
And players, like you said.
I said to those guys, why is this job like being a king of England? Why is it like being a Supreme Court justice? Why do you get to have it for as long as you want it? You might not want to go down to double A. And by the way, that's where I'm sending you. I'm sending you to double A. And you go, well, I'm not going to do that. Then good. Quit. But it has to be the next bargaining agreement or whatever. It's got to be, here's what we need to do. There's got to be a review board for these guys.
Like yesterday.
Like if a guy's hitting 205 and he's 22 years old and they go, oh, this is too much for him, they send him down. Why can't I do that with an umpire?
Hunter Rendlestedt yesterday throws Aaron Boone out of the game for no reason. Aaron Boone said nothing. And prior to that, handful of pitches in the game against the A's yesterday afternoon, Hunter Rendlestedt takes off his mask and starts barking at Aaron Boone. You're an umpire. You should never take that mask off and do that. Now, if they come on the field and they start things, you have every right to go back at them, like umpires used to do. But nobody's there to see you take off your mask and yell at a manager. You don't matter. You don't count.
Do you know what you can do between innings, even if you want? You could just sort of meander and let a guy know, because he's not leaving. They don't leave. They don't go inside.
But
they're
you would
sitting
leave,
right there.
And you could have, I don't know, Enrico Palazzo come back out, and nobody's going to notice because you don't matter.
No. My point is, you know where Aaron Boone is going to be between innings. If you need to say something, you can do it in a way that the world doesn't know you did it, and I certainly don't see you raise your mask up. Again, some guys care, some guys don't, some guys think they're the show, some guys don't. And now, look, you can't review an ejection, but here's what Aaron Boone's not going to have to do. He's not going to have to pay that fine.
Because he said nothing.
And the camera was on him the whole time. You can't review it. It was funny. I said, well, review the ejection. I said, I wonder if anybody's even thought about that. It's not a thing. It's not a real thing. But he's not going to pay the fine. Whatever you pay to get ejected, he's not going to pay it. So, and again, I don't care about the rest of it. I love what a guy says, though. I don't care who said it. Excuse me?
Because Aaron Boone said it was somebody in the stands. I said nothing. And as you said, Chris, there's video evidence to prove that Aaron Boone said nothing.
Well, there's audio evidence of the guy screaming. I don't care who said what. I don't care who it was. And then you're supposed to be in control of the whole thing. What does that mean? My beer is a little warm. Eject Aaron Boone. He's in control of everything in this building today. It's dumb. It's dumb. There's a lot of dumb going on in that world.
And you need to do something about Major League umpires. Not all of them, but some of them. The Braves right now, 15-6, best record, plus 38 run differential, second best in Major League Baseball. Bryce Elder runs into some trouble in the first inning. Some base running blunders bail him out, and he goes the rest of the way, pitching through the raindrops. We talked about this yesterday. This is who Bryce Elder is. Now, he didn't walk anybody, fortunately. But he did give up 8 hits, 6 2/3 innings, though, of scoreless baseball as the Braves get that victory 3-0.
Well, what number do you want to look at? Do you want to be a nitpicker? What number do you want to look at? 8 hits is a lot. The 0 walks is, to me, in part, look, Miami's 6-18 for a reason. You saw it in the first inning. You run yourself out of an inning in the first inning where you can have a guy who maybe is going to feel good about himself, even if he's got to go out for the second and third, because you might have sent him out for the second and third. That's how you're 6-18. That's why you're a bad baseball team. It was on display last night. The fact that he didn't walk anybody to hurt himself anymore. That, and by the way, he knows he's got a double play ball. Got 2 of them last
night. Yeah, second and sixth innings, they end with double play balls. But the issue is with Bryce Elder, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get traffic on the bases. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, he didn't walk people last night. But this is why I think he struggled a little bit in the second half of the season. We'll hear him talk about what he learned from that struggle momentarily. But here is Bryce Elder talking about the mindset that he had when he got sent down.
I was upset at first. I think that's always going to kind of be my reaction. But I also kind of figured out, like, if I kind of sat down and realized that I'm still 24 and I plan on playing this game for a really long time. And so if you look up, hopefully about 12 to 15 years, nobody's ever going to remember this. I'll hardly remember it. So I kind of took it as however long I'm going to be down, I'm going to figure out what I can do, whether it's 1 week or the whole season. Well, I'm going to figure out what I can do to make my stuff better and kind of get back to the form I was in parts of 22 and 21 in the minor leagues and then even at the beginning of last year.
He was a part of that 3-6-1 double play to end the sixth inning. Great job getting over there and stretching as he became the first baseman on that play. And you look at most starts by a Braves pitcher with 6-plus scoreless innings since the start of last year. Spencer Strider and Bryce Elder are tied atop that list at 6. And we know we're not going to see Spencer Strider, and you hope, because you certainly are right to assume he'll get another shot in the rotation, that Bryce Elder continues down this road.
Is that all true?
All of what I just said is true.
No wonder he was mad he got sent down. I love what he said, though. I'm 24. If I'm going to do this long term, you know, unless you become like Mike Trout, the Mickey Mantle story of being sent down, Leo DeRocher putting his arm around Willie Mays saying, I'm not sending you down. You know, nobody does remember those things. Unless you become a Hall of Fame player. It's the Michael Jordan. You know, he got cut from the JV team or whatever the hell the story is because it's changed now. You have to be that type of player where anybody's going to look back. Remember at the beginning of 24 when they sent him back down? Well, if he has 230 wins in his career, then that might be a thing. He's smart enough to know that he's probably not going to have 230 wins. Nobody's going to care at the end of the day if he picks up a 10-year vested pension.
Well, and that's why I don't care that he was an all-star last year. He was an all-star in the first half of the season. His ERA was under 3. It was over 5 in the second half of the season.
And he didn't win the job in spring.
Because it was over 8. And here he is talking about Bryce Elder, what perhaps he learned from last year's struggles.
We'll for sure be more prepared with come July, August, September, just as far as how many starts you have to make. And I think not just physically, but mentally. You know, like you said last year, it's like it was just you're going 100 miles an hour and no steering wheel. You just go. And I think physically, I was somewhat ready for it, but mentally I'd never done anything like that. So being able to understand what it's going to be like, I think I'm much more prepared for it this year.
I have no idea what city the Quinnette Striper is playing. I don't know if he realized that at his home here. I don't know if he realized that someplace.
Is that Lawrenceville where they play?
No. I meant like Virginia. Where? Who do they go?
Oh, you mean when they're on the road?
Yeah, I've been to that.
Yeah, yes. We've both been there. That's why I said
my
I was
point
a little
is,
surprised by you saying that.
I don't
but
know.
I misunderstood.
That,
I apologize.
I don't know if that was a night in his own place or if he was in Virginia or somewhere in the Carolinas when he came to that realization. You know, maybe I wasn't ready for it mentally. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe it was too much. 100 miles an hour without a steering wheel. That's a great analogy. And when a guy says it's sort of in that slow Texas, you go, oh, let me roll that around for a little. Oh, he might not have been ready for it. By the way, you go to an all-star game. You're calling your family saying, I'm going on an all-star game. This is going to be great. I'm going to go 12 years without a problem. Whew. I'm going to be rich. Whatever the hell it is you start thinking. At least he had that mindset sitting somewhere pitching in minor league baseball.
Never assume anything. We assumed Marcell Ozuna was done at this time of the year last year, and obviously he's not. He got things going in the fourth with that walk with one out, and then Travis d'Arnaud comes to the plate, and what else? First pitch he sees. Pulls it down the left field line for another home run.
That is some King Kong s***.
It is. It really is, Ben. Let's clean up the language a little bit. It's his fifth home run in eight at-bats.
Five home runs in eight at-bats. My language would be pretty bad, too.
Five home runs, 10 RBIs over his last four games. Now, per Elias Sports, Mark Bowman, our buddy from MLB.com, had this one last night. d'Arnaud is the only Braves player since 1953 to homer five times within a span of eight or fewer at-bats. And Travis d'Arnaud will be on with Chuck and Chernoff today at 2:30.
Where do you hear this guy? This guy toots his own horn.
He's
nobody's business.
He's a great self-promoter. That's the best way to describe Travis d'Arnaud. It's about me.
He said
no one ever.
He better get out of this dig me mode. Jeez. I'm going to say it again. His resurgence is incredible. I wrote something down. The backup quarterback is loved because he never plays. He's not a backup catcher. He's a catcher, and now he's the catcher. He's gotten his adoration and his adulation because he's played. Like, you can be a backup catcher somewhere in Kansas City. You're behind Salvador Perez. Nobody cares. This guy's had a career resurgence. He's had life-changing money, I would think. Whatever it was he had, he has more now. And then I was asked, do you think he goes into coaching? The age of his kids and maybe this money that he's made when maybe he didn't think he was going to make it, that might change things.
I asked you that yesterday. Don't just say you were asked. I asked you that.
Oh, was it you?
Sitting across from you yesterday
at
TPC Sugarloaf. What?
You want to try that again?
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
Thank you, Buck.
There goes the perfect show.
I don't listen at remotes. I'll listen in here. Had you said that in here, I would have known. The point is, you want to be a roving instructor? You want to go around and tell, you think Sal Fasano wouldn't mind having this guy come in and talk to all the minor league catchers about what this job is, what the most important part of the job is? Love that. I don't know if this guy's going to coach every day. I don't think the age of his kids have really put in a position to sort of wake up and go, goodbye for 10 days. Daddy's leaving.
And probably, as you said yesterday, with his financial situation, it's not something he needs to do at this point.
Right.
Now, maybe after a couple of years, the kids will be making him crazy and he's got to get out of the house.
Right. But you want him to go
it's
to spring?
To all of us, right?
You want him to go rove? You want him to go do something like that all day, all night if he wants to? He's got a message to tell. And he could tell it to guys in A-ball, rookie ball, AA, AAA, and the major league level. Your job as a catcher is to be a catcher. Whatever you do otherwise, they'll pat you on the back for it. Your job is to be a catcher.
A couple of other records were set last night. Ronald Acuna Jr. makes history in the first inning, stealing his 190th career base. That's a new Atlanta Braves record. Rafael Furcal previously held it with 189 stolen bases. Storman Herman Long, 1890 through 1902, holds the all-time Braves franchise steals record with 434. Hank Aaron is the modern franchise record holder with 240 stolen bases. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
No, but Hank also had said, if I knew it was a big deal, I would have done 40-40, 30-30. He certainly could have done 30-30s because I didn't think it was that big a deal. So he has 240, and people will go, wow, shouldn't he have more than that? Yeah, but he just, that wasn't part of his game. You know the problem with this Herman Long, though? Give the years again.
1890 through 1902.
Yeah, the bases were 42 feet apart back then. So, I mean, you can count it if you want. I personally don't.
Hop along, Herman Long, as some called him way back when.
I like to say when a catcher trying to throw you out has worked the third shift at the punch press, then moseyed over to the ballpark, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to think of those numbers.
And I don't know what Ronald Acuña Jr. was thinking prior to breaking the record last night. In fact, he probably wasn't thinking anything about the record. Listen to what he had to say after the game.
I didn't know I was on the brink, to be honest. Usually whenever I'm approaching a record, I feel like either someone tells me or I see it online or whatever. But this time I didn't see it. But I think it's better this way. It was great. I broke it and I didn't even know what happened.
Well, thank God he would have taken another base out of the middle of the field, and then people were,
and we're really stopping the game.
Can we get the base after the game? I mean, this is pretty absurd.
That will be celebrated tomorrow night, the first 15,000 fans getting that record stolen base bobblehead. Ronald Acuña, the red jersey on, holding up the bag, much to the disdain of Buck Shambi and company as they played the Cubs when he broke that record last year. Oh, this is absurd. I can't understand why this is happening. You're disrupting this beautiful game of baseball.
Yeah.
Change in the jewelry and the change in the stuff.
Had he picked up the base last night, I wouldn't have cared unless they didn't have another base. I would have thought it was excessive, but I wouldn't have said anything. I'd be like, all right, there you go.
Freddie Freeman's still better than him.
As long as there's a spare base around, that's what I've always contended. You can't take a base up if there's not a spare base somewhere in the basement. So as long as there's another base there by the time the game gets restarted, what do I care?
Which I'm assuming there is. AJ Minter, now I had no idea this actually was something that people really kept track of. And I guess it became an official stat in 86. A.J. Minter now holds the record, the Atlanta Braves record for holds, with 108 after what he did last night. Again, had no idea that that was actually something people kept track of. Mike Remlinger had the record prior to A.J. Minter.
Okay, that's great. Just give them all a win. I keep telling you, there were multiple holds last night, by the way. There were multiple holds last night because that's actually a thing.
Is it the last guy who holds it for the closer? Is that how it works?
No,
is that the official way?
No. Look at the box score. There were two guys who got holds
last night.
Okay,
so Pierce Johnson and A.J. Minter got holds, yeah. And Rossiel Iglesias got the save.
Yeah, they weren't on the mound at the same time. Yeah, you're going to have multiple holds in a game. There's rules about it, what you have to have. There's conditions. Like getting a save, there's conditions.
Did Remlinger come out and congratulate Minter as he came into the dugout after that eighth inning?
No, he can't.
He wasn't there?
He met him on the field, and they actually both went out to second base and picked the base up for no reason.
This is pretty absurd.
They wanted a photo op.
You think they'd pick up the pitching?
Thing is down, man. That thing is in there. You can't pick that up. What do you think this is? Public school kickball? Elementary school games?
One of those turf mounds?
Yeah.
Those temporary mounds. Those things are safe for kids, incidentally. If you have kids that play on those mounds, they're good, especially if a pitcher's taller and he comes down off the mound, that's really, really good on a young kid out there throwing those temporary mounds.
Oh, no.
They're not slippery or anything either.
What I really like is when you put the bases down in the elementary school playground, and Lord knows hitting one of the corners of those might not send you about 18 feet away from where you started. But that's when kids were kids, tougher. What would you tell a kid? Get up. Get up. Put third on it.
Well, I'm saying sometimes technology isn't our friend. These temporary mounds are not.
Well, you would have needed pitchforks if you want to get a mound out.
Gotcha.
You better have a jackhammer and a pitchfork.
I understand. Ozzie Albies.
For all of the fans?
And two shovels and a flashlight.
In this case, Boo Cristobino does. Ozzie Albies started hitting yesterday. We saw a video of that. And the return on Friday, I guess, is a very, very, very real possibility. That's the first day he's eligible to come off of the injured list when the Guardians are here to begin that weekend series.
Bad stuff is going to happen. How minimalistic is it? If a guy actually shows up after 10 days on the IL when things were like 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, eight, whatever it was that we were talking about, because people run to WebMD, if you're going to have bad stuff happen. It's only April. But how short a time frame is the bad stuff happening? Just this guy back, it's a minimal amount of time.
Remember, things could always be worse. I know that Buck was very down to start his show yesterday, Buck Blue weekdays 10 to 11, because the Braves lost to the Rangers when they had a chance to win on Sunday. You could be the Rockies. They're 5-17. They've trailed in every single game this year. Now, that seems impossible. Well, they felt fallen behind at one point in every single game this year.
Yeah, you got to go back to the Washington Senators in like 1922 was the last time it happened. So it's happened before. And again, who knows this stuff? I don't know. I didn't know it. I read it. What do I care? What do I care about the Colorado Rockies?
But I'm saying it could be worse in that regard.
Well,
it could always be worse.
Hey, just again, I don't even have to go out that far. Look at what Miami did in the first inning. How are you a 6-18 baseball team? That's part of it.
Yeah, case in point. I have no idea how something like that happens either. The 11 o'clock hour presented by Finley Roofing, Atlanta's most trusted and recommended
roofer.
What we got
today?
A lot of things. 4 decades of experience and a lifetime warranty on their work. FinleyRoofing.com. Another tough day for Trae Young. The players, well, their opinion speaks for itself.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to call this a victory for Trae Young.
All right, well,
I'm not kidding.
Potato, potato. We butt heads on that, I guess, at 11:50. Jeff Francoeur has his weekly conversation with us at noon, and another major change is apparently coming to college athletics, and a big name is on Georgia's campus today. We go on campus and talk about that around 12:20. When we come back, Matt Ryan officially retires, and now let this argument begin. Into the NFL we go next. It's Shalini, it's Domino, it's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
Idiot sandwich what?
An idiot sandwich, Chef Ramsay.
Yo!
Shalini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. It's National English Muffin Day. Who's your favorite English person? The X Platform question of the day.
No, I know where you're going with it.
Well, thank you, Bob. The 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Finley Roofing. Hey, don't forget, the Braves are back at home tonight, 7:20 first pitch against the Marlins. The Ford leadoff show coming your way at 6:05. Max Fried is on the hill tonight for the Braves. And Braves fans now from all over Georgia can't participate and win in the Braves Foundation 50-50 raffle brought to you by Harrah's Cherokee Casino and Resort. Now, here's what you need to do. Enter in person at Truist Park or online. And if you enter online, you must be physically located in the state of Georgia at the time of entry. You can go to Braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB ballpark app while in the state of Georgia. The greatest run of the last 10 years is finally rewarded. That story in about 5 minutes.
Punching it in from the goal line. This is the Drive into the Red Zone.
So we found out late in the show yesterday that Matt Ryan officially retired from the NFL. They had a nice gathering for him at Flowery Branch. Arthur Blank was there. Todd McClure was there. Our very own Brian Finneran, along with Michael Jenkins, all surprising Matt Ryan. I like the vest looking like Michael J. Fox in the original Back to the Future that Arthur Blank had on. Can I get a Pepsi free? You want a Pepsi, kid, you're going to have to pay for it. Anywho, Matt Ryan said it was a hell of a ride. Excited to see what's next. Signed a one-day deal with the Falcons to end his career where it started. And here he is talking about his future.
I know this. I don't want to coach. I'm certain of that. I feel like you put so much into it as a player for 15 years. And you know, there's this immediate, you know, kind of withdrawal from it. But I know what those, you know, roles look like and how invested and how hard those guys have to work and the level of expertise and work that it takes to get there. And so, no, I haven't had any of those conversations. I've really been enjoying kind of the broadcast side of it and have had a lot of fun with that.
Would it have been wrong if you would have said, I made $306 million during my career? You think I'm coaching? Then you look at your wife and kids and say, oh, and by the way, because of my family, too, I would like to be around for all of this.
I mean, points for honesty there.
He's made $306 million.
Want
to know what the list is? Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and Tom Brady, the only guys in NFL history who cashed more checks. $36 million from the Colts. I'd imagine he's making pretty good money from CBS these days. Plus, it gives him the affordability of being home. 306 million reasons why he doesn't maybe want to be a coach in this league.
So 2028, circle that year on your calendar. That's the first year that Matt Ryan will be officially eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He said, that's not my call. Todd McClure, one of his teammates, was asked about it. Here's what his one-time center had to say.
No doubt, you know. Well, I mean, you look at the numbers, number one, and then, like I talked about earlier, I know this isn't criteria, but being an ultimate pro, the way he prepared for the game, the way he cared about his teammates, just the way he handled his business, it's no question to me he'll have a gold jacket in his closet at some point.
Now the question is, when does he get it? How long might he have to wait? Look, there's nobody that's going to stand up in a room and say, well, you know, we really have to discuss this. Give us about an hour. What it's really going to be is, he can't get in yet because we have a limited number of guys who can get in. It's seven guys max. And maybe he's got to wait a year or two. I have no idea. He's top 10 in passing yards and touchdowns right now. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got an MVP, went to a Super Bowl. He's a Hall of Famer. The only thing that somebody in that room could stand up and say is, well, hold on. Like I give the planes on a runway analogy. He's just got to get parked behind these guys. But don't worry, eventually when you're parked behind these guys, you get to the front of the line.
And look, people are going to tell you it shouldn't matter, and to a certain extent, I agree, it shouldn't matter. But not having that Super Bowl championship does matter when it comes to getting in the Hall of Fame as a quarterback, first ballot or not.
Well, maybe somebody in the room would say, well, I counter with that Super Bowl means he doesn't have to wait behind anybody. Or maybe somebody doesn't have an opportunity to get up if the Super Bowl is part of it. He's getting in. It's just, and I'm not here to look at the 2025 class, 26 class, 27 class to try to figure out who he might be parked behind. But this is not like baseball where you write down 10 names. It's not that. There's a maximum going in every year at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And the nice guy thing, is it going to help? Yeah, because nobody's going to get up in the room and go, you know what that guy was? He was a pain in the ass and a cancer. He was great, though, but he was a pain in the ass and a cancer. That's what happens to borderline guys. They get docked for a little bit longer.
But there's no doubt he's going to be in that ring of honor inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He should be in there already. There shouldn't be a waiting
period. Well, I think he had to wait till he was officially retired. You know, the Colts were maybe not going to pay him money if his... Maybe that was one of the... Hey, listen.
Well, I think we all agree here. When did he retire, though? Yesterday, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, by 4 o'clock, his name should have been...
Well, you have to have a ceremony.
Well, then you have the ceremony.
What are you going to do? You're going to bus everybody from Flowery Branch down there?
No. You put it up, and then you have the ceremony when you have the ceremony.
It'll be sooner, not later. I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's a day historically that makes the most sense on the anniversary of his first game. I don't know. It'll happen. He's not going to wait 5 years for that. He's not.
No.
Arthur Blank doesn't have the time for that. It was nice to see. I guess
just get a jump start on it. Get the construction crew in there already and just, you know, get them, you know, putting the spot up there, reserving the spot. Maybe just when Atlanta United plays and the World Cup plays, just put a tarpaulin over it. Then you unveil it when you unveil it.
Okay. Yeah, it was nice to see that moment between those guys. You knew it was going to get fixed. I just wasn't sure how long it might take. Everybody seems to be whatever over that, what do we call it? The Deshaun Watson incident?
Yes.
Let's just call it that. Have you ever... The pervert incident. Have you ever... I don't know. Listen, my wife would then have to ask me questions. I just say the Deshaun Watson incident. I think she probably does understand. Have you ever looked at some of these buildings where they put those names and numbers? Who does that? Like, who's crazy enough to go out and start, you know, put the number 2 on? R-Y-A-N,
sure.
2. That's a long way up, man. Yeah.
And like the window washers we see all the time. In the old building we were in Buckhead, we were 17, 18 floors up, and they were out there just sitting on a bench with cables on them. Like, you would have thought the way their body language was, they were on a park bench. Didn't faze them at all.
And it only happened once, but one guy looked in, tapped the window. He saw me looking at him, like, a couple of times. He gave me a thumb. Love the show. Concentrate. Don't worry about the show.
I couldn't even look at them, let alone actually be out there.
No.
It's like those videos you see on those guys going to the ledge, mm-hmm. riding a skateboard to the edge of a building. I can't watch those videos, let alone participate.
I watch guys jump from building to building. Like, why would you do that?
Well, somebody should jump off a ledge at Flowery Branch if this is true. In Adam Schefter's latest draft notes column, he says some are speculating that Michael Penix Jr. could go as high as number 8 overall to the Falcons. If Terry Fontenot does that, everybody needs to be fired. I'm sorry, you all have to go. And Arthur Blank immediately has to sell this franchise.
What if they trade Kirk Cousins?
This happened under your watch.
What if they trade Kirk Cousins Thursday night as well?
Everybody's got to go.
No, what if they trade him?
The franchise has to move.
What if they trade Penix? What if they draft him and trade him? Why can't we do hat switching in the NFL like we do it in the NBA?
Why bother?
What do you mean? Somebody says I couldn't get high enough in the draft. You draft him. Here's the parameters of the trade. Can't do them right now.
Okay, but then here's the problem.
Go ahead. There's a lot of problems.
So you think,
I'm not telling you this is problem-free.
You think if you're the Falcons, this is all hypothetical, of course. You think you have that franchise that wanted Michael Penix Jr. over a barrel. In turn, they've got you over a barrel as well. If you want too much from us, we're going to pass, and now you're stuck with a quarterback and a need is still out there, or many needs are still out there for you.
Haven't you heard of a gentleman's agreement? Have you not? Again, this is how you think and live.
Of course, I watch too much wrestling. There's no such thing.
Or Succession, or any of these stupid shows like Billions.
Yep. I don't trust anyone.
I also saw they're going to grab a defensive tackle from Texas because Raheem Morris saw what happened in Los Angeles. You know, you got to stick a guy next to Aaron Donald. That's what he's going to do. There's a defensive tackle out of Texas they're going to take with number 8.
There's a lot of nonsense making the rounds right now. The Chiefs, this isn't nonsense. This is doing the right thing. They've signed President Mark Donovan, GM Brett Veach, and Andy Reid to extensions through the 2029 seasons. Andy Reid's going to be 71 when his deal ends, and the word is this now formally makes him the highest-paid coach in the NFL. With Belichick retiring, I believe Sean Payton making $18 million, aside from this Reid deal, was the highest-paid coach in the NFL.
What is that?
You're holding up 3 fingers.
What is that?
One finger.
What is this?
It's 3 fingers.
How many times has he won Super Bowls?
3 times.
Right. How many times has Sean Payton?
1.
How long ago was it?
Explain it again with those nuggies.
How long ago was it?
Long time.
Long ass time ago. A lot of losses.
No nuggies are necessary.
I mean, my God, what were you people waiting for?
Since 2017, the Chiefs are 134, including the postseason, 7 consecutive AFC West championships, 4 AFC championships, and 3 Super Bowl titles.
Yeah, that last one's a really, really big one. Why would he not be the highest paid coach in the league? I'll tell you this. He's probably had a nice life, probably got a lot of money in the bank. I'll assume he'll see the end of this contract at 71 years old. I hope, and I'm just telling you this, I hope he's healthy enough to enjoy it all. Because his job is a bitch.
I think he looks better now than he did when he was coaching in Philadelphia.
See, that's funny you say that, but do you know who was it, Jim Fix? Remember that?
The runner?
Yeah, where did he? He looked great.
He died running, didn't
he? Yeah, he died running. He looked great. I mean, he's 71. This is a lot of and by the way, he's had family stuff. He's had a lot of internal strife. His organs are probably older than his birth certificate. I just hope, seriously, he's earned the right to make this money. I hope at 71 he can go enjoy it.
Reid has 258 wins, 70 behind Don Shula. He's got 26 postseason wins, 5 behind Bill Belichick. So he could,
that one he could get,
make even more history when all is said and done. We brought up...
Can you imagine Bill Belichick sitting there rooting against the Chiefs?
And he is.
If he's tied.
Definitely.
With this guy in all-time playoff.
Of course I can see that. We talked about Sean Payton. He's got a new quarterback, apparently. Zach Wilson going to be traded from the Jets to the Denver Broncos. The Jets and the Broncos will split Zach Wilson's $5.5 million guaranteed. So about $2.75 apiece for these two franchises. Now, I bring that up to say this.
Class of 21 strikes again.
Yes, 4 of the 5 first-round quarterbacks from 2021 have been traded. All of them traded for day 3 draft picks. Trevor Lawrence is the lone man standing with the same team, and he's up for an extension.
Well, thank
God. Is he going to get that extension in Jacksonville is the question. But he's the only one left.
Thank God he's got those 2 Super Bowl rings, Trevor Lawrence, to bump that class a little bit.
Trey Lance traded for a 4th-round pick. Mm-hmm. Niners to the Cowboys. The Bears trade Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick, which could become a 4th-round pick. Either way, it's not day 1 or day 2. The Patriots trade Mac Jones to Jacksonville, so he's actually a teammate now of Trevor Lawrence for a 6th-round pick. This is why nothing is guaranteed.
So the only
at
good,
all.
The only
this
good
is why
thing,
it's what? A crapshoot.
The only good thing is nobody paid that 5th year to any of those guys. I don't know if their new teams will. Seems like probably not. But it's can I give you a new term? At some point somebody's gonna realize, you know what drafting quarterbacks is in the first round? At times it's catch and release. It's catch and release.
Use that one the next time you see Arthur Blank.
Yeah, it's catch and release. I gotcha. You're in the boat. Let me see
you. I will not have you sit here. We go back a long way, Chris, comparing a quarterback to a bass, a largemouth bass, which is what now when you babble like this, you remind me of.
It's catch and release. They're in the boat. You got to look at them. I'm going to throw it back in.
I don't think you're wrong.
Thank you.
Speaking of all-timers, it's going to be the greatest roast of all time. of Tom Brady. It's going to happen live, they say, on Netflix on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, a Saturday at 8 o'clock.
If this is live, I'm so in. So what are they calling it? Is this a groat? The greatest roast of all time? Did
That's
I just invent something?
Calling it. Kevin Hart
is it called a groat? That's what it should be called. The groat. Greatest not, roast of all time. Oh, not, there's a new one.
It's not called it, but it should be called
it. Well, there
it,
you go. You can have it. Netflix, can I trademark that really quickly? Hey, get me an attorney on the phone. If I say this now.
Get Ray Judice on the horn.
Yeah, I need. What's the paperwork?
Wait, I think now that you've stated it on the public airwaves,
I think so. It's mine.
It's time coded, and you want to now patent it somewhere down the line. You can do that.
Done.
Make sure it's patented, as Brian Finneran would say. Anyway, here's the announcement led by the man who's going to host it, Kevin Hart.
The man, the arena, the roast of Tom Brady live on Netflix. No helmets, no mercy, no Brady rule.
No f***ing problem.
The greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady, live, hosted by me, Kevin Hart, with a lineup of surprise guests.
We're coming for you, pretty boy.
I'm unroastable. Let's go.
So nothing's off limits. Giselle, the kids, the Deflategate, Spygate, nothing's going to be off limits. Nothing.
Yeah, this
leaving behind a pregnant girlfriend when you got with Giselle. I mean, nothing's off limits.
No.
In a roast.
Now, you can't advertise that. Now, I'm going to say this, though. I know Kevin Hart's a big star. Shouldn't be hosting this. That's a Jeffrey Ross thing. You go back to the well. I know Kevin Hart is a bigger draw. Supposed to be hosting it.
Ross should be on the panel. Does Belichick come out and roast Tom Brady?
No, because the rebuttal would be a problem. You can't. No, because remember, if you roast, then you have to sit down. Remember, you're not off limits. Anybody sitting there is on limits.
Drew Bledsoe has to come out, right?
I think he should come out with a fake lung, like, and just say, here you go. You owe your career to this. This is the lung they had to take out. Just stuff like that. But no, Belichick won't be there. Because then what will happen is everybody can take aim at Belichick. You can't sit there.
I want to warm everybody up with some humor before I roast Tom. Why'd the monkey fall out of the tree?
I don't know, Bill. Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Because he was blank and dead.
Oh, that's funny. Had nothing to do with Brady, though. We're roasting Tom Brady. We're not here for your jokes.
Good night, everybody. Rod to Cincinnati.
Can you imagine Jeffrey Ross looking over at Bill Belichick with the idea that Brady won a Super Bowl without him, and he picked Mac Jones?
Well, the thing is...
Oh, my God.
This is why you have to be careful if you're on the panel, because everybody on the panel gets it just as much.
Right.
Yeah, so Belichick will get
slaughtered. No, he won't be there.
It's a fair point.
He won't be there. Now, Robert Kraft... Because the problem with him is massage parlor jokes. He's got a couple other things maybe, but massage parlor jokes. Would Robert Kraft show up? Because, I'm sorry, he's then fair game. And a lot of people would say, oh, he's 80 plus years old.
Well, it's good to see Robert Kraft here to bring us all a happy ending. There he is, the owner of the Patriots. I can't say other things that are in my head because we're not Sirius XM satellite radio.
Right, but we should be. One day a week, I keep telling you that. One day a week, we should be able to say whatever we want.
And we don't say if it's the day or not. We just, you know, after listening for 5 minutes,
it's going to be
that day. There's no formal announcement. Just know one of the 5 days it's going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to show up here and there's going to be a little red tag on our seats. Today's the day.
All right, when we come back, I say it's a bad day. You say not such a bad day for Trae Young when all is said and done.
Are you kidding me? This
when it comes
win.
To his NBA peers.
This is a win.
All right, it's the NBA Minute living on. When we come back, Chalini D'Amino, it's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Madonna, can we begin with the adoption? Because
I would like to make a correction because I'm not used to being in control. I think that's a preconceived notion that people have that I'm in control of everything. But I can assure you that I don't often have things my way.
So this is
kind of world we're living in now. It's the X platform question of the day. It's English Muffin Day. Who's your favorite English person? When Madonna was speaking to everybody that way, why didn't somebody just say, why are you talking that way? You're from Detroit, Michigan. You're not English. Why are you doing this?
Well, because it would have been insensitive. You know.
It's insensitive to people that are English. Sounds like you're making fun of them.
You don't remember the day that the brick fell off that building, hit her in the head, and all of a sudden she was English? How insensitive do you want to be?
Like, if I walked around with a southern accent, you would think I'm a jerk. Yeah. You probably think I'm a jerk anyway, but you would really think I'm a jerk.
Yeah, she got refined. That was.
I thought it was
refined.
A sign of respect. Didn't you used to work with somebody who did that?
Well, we worked with somebody. Whenever we were around somebody that had an accent, he would adopt that accent.
You got to let that go.
Not him. I saw that as an insult then, and I still see it as an insult. But hey, to each their own. Jeff Rancourt going to join us at the top of the hour to talk about the incredible run of Travis d'Arnaud, among other things. But The Athletic, first and foremost, released the results this week of an anonymous NBA player poll. And one of the questions asked was, who's the league's most overrated player? Rudy Gobert of the T-Wolves came in first at 13.6%. And second place, Jordan Poole at 8.6%. Trae Young came in third at 7.4%. You're saying, though, this isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No. According to the way that Trae Young is spoken about, I would have thought it would have been triple that. Quadruple that.
It was big to get this one.
I thought he was going to be the winner by a landslide. Third place? Good for him. 7%? Great for him. I'm asking you, if you didn't know the results, what do you think would have... What would you have said about Trae Young? I would have said he's number one on the list, and he's got 30-plus percent of the vote.
I'm not surprised he's in the top three, but I still don't think when Trae Young looks at something like this, he's happy about it.
Yeah, of course not. I'm telling you, he should be in this case. I thought he would have been at 30%. Number one with a bullet. Now, Rudy Gobert is hated. Nobody likes that guy. That was a popularity. He's overrated thing as much as anything else. But Trae Young, all we keep hearing about, can't make an all-star team, doesn't want to be picked for this. You're sort of, but not really, on anybody's Olympic list. I would have thought that somebody would have said in the league, oh, that guy's overrated. The whole world knows that. No, that's a 7-point-whatever percent is a win for him.
John Hollinger in The Athletic used to be, I think, in the Timberwolves front office, said what I started to say last week. Because of this Murray deal, they can't make any moves. Because of this Murray deal, they are crippled. Because of this Murray deal, they're not going to make any moves. Don't be surprised if everything stays the same.
Yeah. I mean, we had the conversation. I looked at you and said, so what do you do? I can't trade for dimes on a dollar. I'm not in a position to trade for dimes on a dollar. I'm telling you what the game plan is going to be. Is they're going to have to suck it up, do a mini press conference or whatever before the season starts and says, you know, we've both figured it out. We both want to win. That's our goal. And maybe you can sell that to the fan base. I'm not really sure.
We shall see. Introducing 680 The Fangirl, the brand new social media sports content tailored to the ladies. Less X's and O's, more lifestyle-driven sports. The 680 The Fangirl page is curated expressly for, as you said yesterday, Domino, Matt Chernoff, and our 680 female sports fans. Become a 680 The Fangirl today. Follow us on Instagram and follow us on TikTok.
All right.
Turn off the GPS and let Domino take the wheel. It's a drive around the sports world, presented by Marietta Toyota. At Marietta Toyota, every new Toyota includes our nationwide lifetime powertrain warranty, family-owned and operated since 1975. Stop in for a test drive or visit MariettaToyota.com. It's better in Marietta.
Here's the audio of a baseball game yesterday when a guy threw a manager out, and now the umpire is going to end up getting fined, in my opinion, not the manager.
Is the first base umpire you saw making that call?
I'm yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pit. Got anything else to say? You're gone.
Okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
We didn't.
Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
I don't care who said it.
That's what Hunter Reynolds said, the home plate umpire, who was screaming, took off his mask and started screaming. Yep. And Aaron Boone, to begin this whole thing, said.
All right.
He needs to be disciplined.
Yeah, he will be. Oh, no, he will be. Again, we can't send you down. We can't have you sit out a series.
First of all, he instigated the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
Aaron Boone was upset because they went down to the first base umpire who said, swing, no swing. And he told him, hey, you know, you can make that call. And he said, I was looking to see if it was a swing here because I had to make sure it didn't hit him. Whatever. And then he dropped the one that's going to get him in trouble is I don't care who said it. You just said, I don't care who said it. It's documented. All right, real quick. This is going on last night. I'm going to tell you about a moment I had.
Can you walk me through how you guys are able to pull that off?
I mean, listen to this. This is what we do. This is who we do it for. That's it. 2-0.
That's Dante DiVincenzo.
Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh! He actually, now the woman,
what
very
a mess
excited.
Of a finish that game was.
Well, hold on. Very
exciting,
excited.
But a mess.
Very excited, this woman. And she thinks she's going to get a pearl from this guy. This is what we do. Oh, really? Yeah, the Knicks do this, huh? Oh, okay. No, they don't. Know your Knick history. It hasn't been good since you were basically born. So the fact that this is what we do. This is who we are, 2-0. He's one of us. But I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by the woman who's too giddy asking him, and I'm embarrassed by his answer.
Now we just got to find a place for your friend LeBron to live.
Everybody got
now
caught
it's
up
gonna
in
get,
the moment.
Well, now it's going to get worse. By the way, this is what we do.
Joel Embiid said, we're coming back and winning this series. We're the better team.
Yeah, that's what he did say. He basically called his shot. He's Mark Messier all of a sudden. The Mark Messier of Philadelphia. But listen to what's going on the street on 7th Avenue. This is Knicks fans. They're just standing out in the street screaming.
So I'm going to say something, if I may paint with a broad brush. This just from the outside looking
in. Go ahead. I'll let you know if you're right.
Mets fans, Knicks fans, and Jets fans are idiots. For the most part.
They're more vocal about everything. Listen to this. This is them on 7th Avenue. Hey, go home. It's not even original. This is what we do.
They're idiots.
Yeah, since when? All right, you know what I did last night? I enjoyed a full night of basketball. I did something like John Nash. You know that
pal,
scene?
Pal.
I put it up. No, I put that scene up in the bar. But John Nash is looking at all the scenarios and he figures out which one is it. You know what I did? Something I'd never done before. I watched the first game. I watched the beginning of the second game, the Lakers game. I'm getting tired. Take out my phone. I set my alarm for 25 minutes.
So again, you're Kramer in Seinfeld. You just sleep in short spurts.
I get the couch pillow, and I get a blanket. I didn't nap. What's my rule of naps? 20 minutes or less. And you can't be under anything.
More than 20 minutes, you're sleeping.
And if you're under anything, the cover of some sort, you're sleeping. You're not napping.
Gotcha.
I set my alarm 25 minutes later. I missed the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, but I wake up, make some popcorn, watch the Lakers game. Brilliant. They won't give me a Nobel Prize, but you understand I looked at every scenario. If I lay down and watch the game, I'm going to fall asleep.
Gotcha.
If I go upstairs and I'm in bed, I'm going to fall asleep.
You're a genius in your own right.
You do understand the...
I'm going to give you my pen like they did at the end of A Beautiful Mind. Here you go, Professor.
I saw every scenario of how this can go. And don't fall asleep on the got up, made popcorn thing, because once you do that, you're committed
right.
to be up for the rest of the game.
You got to finish the snack.
That's exactly right.
I can't believe I understand where you're going.
I'm proud of myself.
But yet I do.
And
LeBron blamed the officials after the game.
Yeah, he did. Well, he left the podium.
You might want to look at your teammate, Anthony Davis.
I almost wanted
to... the invisible man in the fourth quarter.
You mean one-shot AD?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a thing, but one-shot AD last night. He had one shot in the fourth quarter. I was going to play the cut of him talking about how save it for the documentary, but I said, oh, well, let me find out. Oh, wait, Gary Washburn. Remember we were trying to find out who the guy 11 years ago didn't vote for? Gary Washburn. How do I know that? Ask
didn't
me how
vote
I know
for LeBron.
That.
How do you know?
Ask me how I know that. Because I went back and I found a tweet from 2013 when Gary Washburn said, let me tell you why I didn't vote for LeBron for the MVP. So I might have just actually blown the documentary for LeBron James.
Well, now you've done it.
It's Gary Washburn.
Spoiler alert.
Ask me how I know it was Gary Washburn.
Again, Chris, how do you know it's Gary
Washburn? Because Gary Washburn said it was me. It was out there for the public to consume.
Well,
so
I figured someone would openly admit it. The noon hour brought to you by Wade Ford. At Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, you will discover great prices, flexible finance options, our top trade-in values, and even more mobile services featured there.
I like trucks.
Thank you, Adam, for that statement. In the meantime, let's talk some baseball right now.
He's a hometown kid who became a major league star.
It's gone!
And now he's part of our broadcast family here in Atlanta. It's the Jeff Francoeur Show. Reggie is only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
He joins us each and every Tuesday at noon on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. He is Jeff Francoeur. Jeff, always appreciated. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am good, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great. Where are the whereabouts? Are you at home on a Tuesday, or are you on the road again calling baseball?
I am actually in Chicago, where it's about 50 and crazy windy, so it should be a fun one tonight.
All right, so speaking of fun, Travis d'Arnaud, how do you account for what's going on here?
Man, it's unbelievable. I mean, he is in the, you know what you call that, man? Being absolutely locked in and in the zone where you just feel like every pitch you're going to crush. And, I mean, it's what a perfect time to do this, too, with Murph out. You know, starting to try to rehab, get better, like to step up that way. I mean, gosh, how beautiful is it?
Jeff, how often does it happen that a catcher has a career, I'll call it a resurgence, but his last act is better than any other act financially, acclaim, the ring, everything that comes with being Travis d'Arnaud now is he's not thought of as a backup catcher. He is the catcher for the Atlanta Braves right now.
Yeah, for sure. And look, when, you know, I think it was proven, like most other teams, if you had Sean Murphy, he's catching 120 ball games, right? But like, you know, here, I think the great thing is that you can really save Murph legs too, you know, especially with him being signed to that deal now. And you can throw, you know, Travis in there and you feel like you're not really losing much, or you got a guy that is a pro and knows how to do it. And so, you know, I'll continuously say, like, the idea, what the Braves have been able to do with the two catcher system, is interesting. And I think at times you're like, man, you got to wonder sometimes. But you know what? If everybody's getting paid and everybody's playing well and happy, you can see it works, and it is for them.
The narrative of his career, I don't know how close he was to being the backup in Kansas City or someplace else where it might have just been finish out, because that's how a lot of catchers finish. Derek in the studio looked it up. From 2007 to 2019, he made $9 million. From 2020 on, he's made $35 million. The narrative of his legacy and the narrative for his family has changed since he's come to Atlanta.
Yeah, but, you know, you think about it, right? Like, you go to some places, and I hate to say it, like, you just – maybe you're not relied on as much, right? Or it's like, okay, you're going to be the backup. Like, he's come here – and it's like, hey, these guys depend on me, not only to catch a staff, but to put up offensive numbers. And that can rejuvenate you. I mean, I think look at Charlie Morton, man. I mean, later in his career, knowing that, man, just because I'm older, but I got some of my best stuff right now, and these guys are relying on me. And, that can drive you, you know, to play better, to step up. And I think with Travis, you're seeing it's a perfect example that's done it for him.
Jeff Francoeur is with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Incidentally, Travis d'Arnaud will be on with Chuck and Chernoff at 2:30 this afternoon. We saw Bryce Elder back last night. Doesn't walk anybody, does allow eight hits. The Marlins run into trouble and out of that first inning as the shutout is preserved there. But this is what we're going to see, right? For the most part, Elder is going to pitch through traffic and rely on that double play ball at times.
Look, it's what he's always done. And I've always said it, like, playoffs regardless, like, you know, you take that out of the equation. I've always said it. I'd love to have Bryce throw for me every 5 days. You know, you're going to get innings. You know, he's going to, for the most part, put the ball in play. And going back to last year, most of the time you're getting six innings from him, if not more, you know, a couple more last night like that, what, 6 2/3. So he can save a pen. And, you know, it was a tough conversation, right? I talked to Snit back at the end of spring training, like, you got a guy that did everything you asked him to do last year, made the All-Star team, and you basically told him, you're not making the team this year out of camp. And that's tough, but I think for Bryce to have the attitude to go down there and say, you know what, I know I'm going to get my shot sooner than later. And I've always said it, I have no problem with him pitching every 5 days.
It is kind of amazing. You have the best record in baseball. Ronald's got a home run. Riley's mired in it. Olsen's mired in it right now. And, oh, yeah, let's go back to it. You have the best record in baseball.
Well, it's unbelievable when you think about it, this team, what they're able to constantly do, whether it's Spencer getting, hurt, as you said, Ronald not getting off to the best start, Ozzie getting hurt, and just people fill in, man. And when they come here, it's like they feel comfortable, and other guys step up. And, I've said it, Ronaldo Lopez, what he's done has been awesome. So these guys continue to just roll along, and it's like it really is. It's like business as usual, man. And that's why I think you saw Spencer Strider. I love it. These guys don't need me to win the World Series. Would you love to have him? Come on. Of course. He's your horse out there. But I think he also knows what they've done without Ronald before with winning the World Series, that this team is more than just one guy.
I don't know what the record is, but when Ozzie gets reinstated, whether it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back on the active roster, they're going to have 12 guys who've made an all-star team at some point in their career. They're going to have 12 guys out of their 26 who've been an all-star. I don't think that's a record. But it is kind of amazing because Travis d'Arnaud said the other day when he was deflecting from his 3-home run game, we got a lot of guys around here. Yeah, he mentioned all-stars, and we looked last night. There's 12 of them out of 26 guys.
Yeah, that's what's the depth of what you have, the thing. And we talked about with Chris Sale, all of a sudden, right, you're Chris Sale. You've kind of been in a tough situation the last couple of years, in Boston. The team wasn't great. You were kind of injured a little bit, and all of a sudden you come here, man, you get rejuvenated, and it's like, man, I got a chance to win a World Series, I got a chance to be a guy in this rotation. And I think that's the one thing I don't think Alex gets enough credit for, is really kind of looking into the guy, the situation, what it possibly looks like, is it a bounce back? Pierce Johnson's a great example of that. We got him last year, you remember, everybody was kind of like, man, look at those numbers. But if you really dig in a little more, looking at Coors Field, looking at what they like, and I mean, he has been freaking lights out for the most part every time as a Brave. So I think that's one thing Alex does a really good job, is he just, it's not just the players, it's not just the numbers, he looks at the whole package.
And again, look at a guy like Orlando Arcia and what they gave up. Two pitchers, Patrick Weigel and Chad Sabaka, and now this guy's an all-star shortstop. So nobody's going to bat 1,000 as a GM, but boy, deals like that obviously go a long way.
Well, I still laugh because, we had Alex in the booth last year, if you remember, opening day, and Orlando signed that extension. What was it, like 3 years, 7.5 or something like that? And he was up in the booth with us in the second inning on opening day, and Orlando got the first RBI of the year last year, got a base hit to right. And I remember Alex, we kind of joked, and he said, well, there you go, I look like a genius. And, well, come full circle, he does look like a genius on that one now. And that's the thing, guys have kind of come in, and it wasn't easy to replace Freddie Freeman. Matt's done a great job. Wasn't easy to replace Dansby, and Orlando's done a great job. So if you can hit with those and then some of the other guys, like you said, you're not going to get everyone right, but Alex has done the majority of them right.
I don't think we talked to you about this last week, but I brought up the air that Lopez, to me, he's changing the narrative of what this year is going to be for him going back to the booth because I kind of believe I need him as a starter. He's got 2 years after this. Do you think if you're talking about Morton, Fried, and Strider maybe not being there for the beginning of the year, isn't this guy a starter from here on out, or at least until he proves otherwise?
I think you got to, right? I think one thing Smith made a good point, too, with talking about Lopez, he's a big kid. It's not like he's got a small frame. He's a big boy. So when you think about, does that help maybe, some of the nerves as far as pitch count, what it gets to, I think what you keep an eye on. And one thing I love about the Braves, right, is people just always go by innings. And I like what Snit uses a lot, and I've heard Alex say too, stressful innings. How much are they out there really laboring and having to battle, and how many times you're out there just, okay, here's six pretty easy innings where I haven't had to stress a lot. I think there's a big difference in that too. Look, they are going to have to watch it as he goes. I don't think he's going to be able to log 180 innings after doing this, but I do think you can get creative to keep that down, because I do believe he is going to be a big part of that rotation come September, October.
And maybe for the next 2 years, because it's 2 for 20.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing, right? If you go in and throw him 120 something this year, and he makes the, does in the playoffs, absolutely. Then you feel like going into next year, you know, he's good to go. So I truly believe he's a perfect guy to be in this rotation for the next 3 years.
Jeff Francoeur with us. Before we let you go, as you join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line, I want to get your thoughts on Hunter Wendelstedt. I know we've talked about Angel Hernandez, but not only did he get it wrong throwing out Aaron Boone yesterday, I think taking off the mask and yelling at him, he instigated that whole incident.
Yeah, you know, Hunter's a throwback, man. I like Hunter. Hunter's actually tossed me before. I threw my hat on the field back when they just started instant replay in 16 when I was in Atlanta. And, you know, that was a kind of a weird scenario yesterday, right? And then I saw kind of what he read after the game, or I read it from the pool reporter where he kind of said, I just heard, he didn't necessarily say boom. He said, I heard someone in the dugout, and he's the manager of the Yankees, so I'm throwing him out. And, you know, I think that was a quick reaction. And I think you're kind of seeing maybe an excuse for that. Like, hey, maybe the fan did yell at me and I threw Boone out, you know. But I will tell you this, man, is the video not awesome? I mean, he's just sitting there in his aviators and all of a sudden.
And the audio, both.
He's just, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you time it all up, it was just a hilarious sequence of events. But
a perfect perfect review for something that's not reviewable.
Well, and I always say, like, who's the best umpires in baseball, right? When you really get down to it, it's the guys you never hear of, the names, and that's because they're doing their job, right? But like I said, I've always liked Hunter. I've had a good relationship with him. But, you know, at the same time, some of the older guys like that, look, they're gonna kind of set their mark every once in a while, and I think you saw that yesterday.
Yeah, real quick, what did it cost in 2016 to get thrown from a game? And I'm assuming they take a rake directly from your paycheck. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. I think it was like $1,000, and it all depends what you say, right? Like, that was a great thing. My first time I ever got tossed in 06 when I was in San Diego, Bobby came running out and, of course, got tossed with me. And I was like, what do I do? And he's like, well, go up in the cold tub, have a few beers, get your legs ready for tomorrow. And he was like, and you're going to get fined, this, you know, $500 or $1,000 on depending what you say. And I was like, oh, okay. And he said, or you can do what I do. I just send $50,000 in every year at the beginning of the year. So I always appreciated that.
He ran it like a debit account.
Yeah, he did. He knew he was going to have, you know, 10 or 12. So he's like, here you go.
And then I'll just get back the difference at the end of the year. All right, bundle up in Chicago tonight. You got the Astros and the Cubs. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Jeff Francoeur with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. The only home run last night was by Travis d'Arnaud, 5 and 8 at-bats. But all season long, when the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round-tripper discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires. The next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, oh, yeah,
50% off, that kind of stuff.
In that area, you'll get a free alignment and a free oil change with your tire purchase. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals are at Tire Discounters. Learn more at TireDiscounters.com/Braves. When we come back, we'll lay out the plan for the Dogs with draft weekend right around the corner. And a big name is on campus in Athens today. We talk about all of that as we go on campus next. It's Cellini and Domino. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM, or download the Fan app.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Is there chaos in your closet? Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.